Welcome to Intentional Living from our center in the beautiful Tucson, Arizona. It has been, boy, it's been warm. In fact, too warm. We're thinking here in the winter, it's so warm, it makes me wonder what July will be like. But that's a whole nother story. We'll meet you then, too. Hey, we're here because we love you. We want the best for you and your family. If you're brand new to Intentional Living, which is part of Intentional Life Media and the Family Life Radio Network, we have one goal, seven words. We're here to help you experience life the way God intended. And that's it. Because first of all, God's intention, he loves you so much. He's so crazy about you that he sent his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you. Because that's the only way to really justify or put us back into relationship from the fall of man at the very beginning of time. And so we have an opportunity because of Christ's sacrifice that we can say, I'm done with my own life. I'm done trying to do this myself. And I give my life to him. And when you make that intentional act and then choose to then live your life intentionally in him, there's where the growth really occurs. Listen, your intentional act doesn't get you saved. It's God's act that gets you saved, right? It's submitting to that and giving your life to him. But then, as the Bible says, don't only being hearers of the word, but doers. As we figure out what it means to please him, we benefit from that. That's what we teach. So what we try to do on this program every day from our center is just hear questions coming in on various topics, give an intentional living perspective and help and questions to help you think more intentionally in terms of your relationship with Christ. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Love to have you be a part of the show on our storyline today at 888-888-1717. Love to hear from you. All right, let's get started with some of the callers coming in. Some of these have been left on our comment line, questions for me. Let's see if we can get started first in Texas. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Carrie. My daughter is very strong-willed. It actually saved her life when she was born. She was born with transposition of the greater arteries, and she's 10 now, and she's doing fabulous. The question is, how do you teach them to listen and to obey, but without breaking their spirit of being independent and strong-willed? Thank you.
Yeah, all right, Carrie, great question. Very, very simple, very straightforward. Kids only respect action more than words. And so often what we do is we yell, we remind our kids instead of just holding them accountable. And so our words matter. Yeah, indeed. But we need to also have follow through. And I think we break the spirit of our kids, not by holding them accountable. I think we break the spirit of our kids many times by being inconsistent. And one time we hold them accountable, the next time we don't. What we show our kids is we're proud of you, we love you, we care about you. These words matter. God's got something great for you in your life. You know, in this family, here's how we operate. There's things that we don't do in this family. There's things that, you know, we're Carlsons, there's things that we don't do. We don't use profanity in our family. That's just something we don't do. We don't accept that. And so our kids didn't grow up, if that were ever an issue, which it wasn't, but if it was, they would have been held accountable for it. You know, we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't do these things because we're Carlsons, but even beyond that, we're a family that loves the Lord and we want to bring him glory. Not about perfection, it's just about this is the way we want to live our lives. And so you set a standard and you're consistent. And I think when we do that with our family, and even, by the way, I will add this, congratulations on having a strong-willed daughter. Because a strong-willed daughter can grow up and become a powerful adult in terms of living their life for Christ. And if you can help guide them, as the scripture says, train them up in the way they should go. If you can take that strong will and help it be molded, they're not going to be following the crowd. They might be setting the pace and people be following them. All right. I hope that helps, Carrie. Appreciate it. All right. Let me go. Let me see here. Jennifer's in New Mexico with a question. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes. I was wondering, how do you, about being a good stepmom, whenever the dad's not a good disciplinarian and everybody tells me you just need to be her friend and she's not getting any discipline from the dad, what do I need to do?
Well, Jennifer, this is a follow-up on the call we had from Carrie. Who loses in this deal is your child. If it's true that dad is not a disciplinary, and for me, that discipline, by the way, comes from the word training. We want to be disciplined. We want to be training. We want to train our children. But if you're, but if your husband is not following through, not training, and then you become the bad guy in this relationship, you're not on the same page. You don't have a parenting problem. I think you have a marriage issue. And Jennifer, I'd encourage you to get behind a closed door with your spouse and talk about it and go out to dinner or something and just say, hey, how can we get on the same page? I want to support you in doing a good job in raising your child, and I want to be here for you, but we've got to be on the same page because your child needs that. And one of the reasons blended families can just really crumble is because of the thing you're talking about, not being on the same page when it comes to, you know, trying to raise a responsible adult. Okay, Jennifer, hope that helps. Quick break. We'll be back. Got some more questions for you here from Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Every question we ask in life has the power to set us up or set us free. In Dr. Randy's teaching titled The Power of Questions, he unpacks the first question in the Bible and how the serpent used it to twist God's word and lead Adam and Eve astray.
God never told the woman she couldn't touch the fruit. There's already a deception that's occurring in this woman's mind, and Satan is setting her up.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets to listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt, for that reminder. And when you go to the website, we got a lot of helpful information there, resources, archive of our programs, articles, blogs, things that you can learn from because we love you and want the best for you. And it's all made possible because of the prayers and the financial support of our members, those who support us every month. And I want to thank you for doing that. You can find out more how you can join in by going to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. Today, I'm taking questions that have come, some of them on our comment line that have been left for me. And by the way, you're always welcome to share your question about marriage or parenting, and I'll do our best to try to give you a response at 888-888-1717. All right, here's another question for me today.
I have a 26-year-old daughter who has been living with me for about 6 years now. She's a college graduate, has a major in biology, is incredibly responsible with money, and actually has saved a significant amount of money just by living with me. However, she is not responsible at home, doesn't help with chores, has a small dog, and doesn't take responsibility for his care and leaves much of his care to me. And I just feel like in my helping her through these years, I don't charge her rent, but recently I've insisted that she gives me some money to help with household expenses. I feel like I have, and I'm hurting myself because I emotionally don't have peace in my own house, and I just feel like she needs to find her own place because I can't encourage her to take responsibility in helping out at home. But even so, it's like I feel wrong in insisting she gets her own place. So I'm not sure, you know, just where on the spectrum I need to be, you know, spiritually about that situation. And her job is really not very stable, but she uses that also as an excuse not to aggressively look for another job. Would really help me to have some feedback. Thank you.
Well, you know, let me just respond as I hear your question to me. On one hand, you're feeling guilty. On the other hand, you're feeling reasonable. And I would ask the question, which side do you want to be remembered for? Being a parent that operated out of guilt, or a parent that operated out of being reasonable? Being smart, if I can say it that way. Because the smart side of your statement is, hey, I'm not helping my daughter. And she's leeching off of me. And that's not the word you'd use, but that's what it is. She's taking advantage of a situation which you and I both know she's likely to just assume that's the way it's going to be in life, in relationships, in life, in work, and what have you. The reasonable side, the intentional side, is saying, no, I've got to draw a line, hold her accountable. And I think clearly 90% of my listeners today are probably saying to their radio, hold her accountable, show her the door. I mean, have a list of expectations. She's capable. She should be a part of making sure the family runs the way it's supposed to run, because that's the reality is someday you're not going to be there and you want to prepare her. All right. Okay. I got another question here from Florida. Go right ahead.
My name is Norma. My question is, how do you deal with a teenager who does not want to comply with house rules? He's supposed to be living with his mother, but he doesn't want to live with her, I suspect, because he can't get by with the things he gets by at my place. And when I tell him that he needs to adhere to the rules of the house, he gets angry and tells me I'm yelling at him. I'm puzzled as to how to deal with him. People say kick him out. Well, he's not going to stand before God on the judgment day and say, well, my grandmother never showed me God's love, so I don't know what love is. That's just not happening. But I do need to know how to handle him.
Norma, we love you, and I'm glad you're listening, but you're confusing what love is. You're confusing what love means. Love sometimes is very tender and soft. And I say that for parents, when you have a child who's confused and hurting and needing encouragement and an arm around the shoulder, that's the what I call the soft side of love. But there are times that they need the tough side of love too. Because if we see God and we see Jesus in Scripture, we recognize that there was a soft side and there's also a tough side. Love is both. Love is I care for you, my arms are open, I want the best for you. And it also says that those he loves, he disciplines, right? And so if we want to be a model, we want to model what God's intention is for us, we need to model that for our kids. I can tell you that if you do the right thing, hold that child accountable, you're not going to stand before God someday and have him say, well, you held him accountable, you shouldn't have done that. Now, how you do it matters, obviously. Do it intentionally. Do it in a way that honors God and would benefit your son or this grandson. Okay, let me see here. I think we're going Florida now with a question. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Peyton from Panama City. And my question is, what would be the best way to go about asking for forgiveness from your grown children who you weren't there for? I wasn't the nurturing mother, and I didn't interfere, and God bless them with fathers and stepmothers. But it's up to them if they want to have anything to do with me, but just for me to ask for forgiveness to have that peace of mind. Thanks, Dr. Randy.
Well, that was left on my comment line, and so there'd be some follow-up questions. How old are they? When you say you didn't handle it correctly, what does that mean? Are you talking about your children or your grandchildren? I think you said grandchildren, but so some details would help. But let me give you some kind of high-level overview. You know, if we've wronged someone, the Bible says we should go to them. And we're not responsible for how they receive it, but we are responsible for taking an attitude that I'm going to own my own stuff. Now, how you communicate depends on you. If your children or grandchildren don't want anything to do with you and they're not talking to you, well, that's one thing. If there is a relationship, but you've never broached this topic, I would do it one-on-one. I would do it sincerely, and I would take full responsibility. I wouldn't have any excuses. I wouldn't try to justify anything. I would simply approach and say, you know, when you were younger, I blew it. And here's how I blew it. I understand that now. I can't make it up. I can't change it. Will you forgive me? And if they do or they don't, that's their responsibility. But at the end of the day, we have to own our own stuff. And when we fail to do that and we dance around, I think that just that sours our spirit. It sours our life and the things that matter most in our life. It really does. All right. We're going to take a break in a moment. But first, let's go to Stephanie in Michigan, who has a question for me as well.
I would like to ask Dr. Carlson, I often stumble around and don't understand when it's spoken of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't understand that, like how that can be. I struggle a lot to maintain my faith, and a lot of it is because of leftover things that were driven into my head as a child and the religion that I was brought up in and the beliefs that my mother had.
Stephanie, I'm so sorry. And your honesty and transparency went well beyond my ears to the very heart of God. I believe that. He hears everything. He heard your question to me today. And I would just have to believe his heart, like mine, but much more so, is tender towards you, knowing that he's a God that loves you and he cares for you, and he wants the best for you in a relationship. And my guess would be, Stephanie, you probably struggle accepting love from other people, because many times how we relate to other people becomes sort of symbolic of how we relate to God, and that makes sense, doesn't it? If you have an easy way of connecting with people and accepting love from other people and respect from other people, it's going to be easier for you to see God in that same way. See? And so my encouragement to you today is just acknowledge that even though there are times he seems far off, it doesn't feel like it's personal or as personal as you'd want, God doesn't move. He's not like people, the scripture tells us. He's never going to fade. He's never going to fail. He's never going to leave you. And I would encourage you to turn to Scripture, maybe to your concordance, to find Scripture on hope and assurance and encouragement. Memorize those things. The Bible says he'll never leave you and never forsake you. There's a verse to remember. Even though I don't feel you today, God, I know that you never leave me and you never forsake me. And draw from that, from those powerful words from Scripture, hope for yourself. And encouragement. I know people will be praying for you, Stephanie. All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. It's interesting. Do you see how the process of a question being asked, where she should have responded with, I'm not going to debate with you on this. This was God's design. She started to argue with him, started to defend, all of a sudden her desire started to take over. And that's what happens with deception. Once deception takes over in our life, have you ever been around people who are deceived in some of the stupid things that they tell you? God wants me to be happy, or it's better for the children. I mean, some of the things that we've heard, come on, some of the things we may have even said, coming out of pure deception, not the truth, out of deception.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month. It's featured. It's available on our site. It's made possible because of the prayers and the financial support and encouragement of our members from all around the country who support us every month to allow us to do what we do through the Intentional Living Ministry. And I thank you for your prayers and support. Find out more by going to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. You can click on the donate icon there and do that. Or during West Coast business hours, give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. All right. Got a call from Arizona with a question. Go ahead.
Hello. My name is Tal. I'm a single dad. I share custody of my 6-year-old son and my ex-wife. We live in the same town. We share almost every other day. He's my whole life. And she's telling me that she wants to move 100 miles away from where I live. It's going to make it almost impossible to see him as often as I want if he goes. I want to trying to get him to stay here, but I don't know how to go about doing that. I keep praying and praying and praying, and I just hope you have some advice for me. Thank you for your time. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Well, you're very welcome, and I'm not an attorney, but I would certainly want to explore the paperwork and what is expected, because I think it's not untypical to have some requirements to stay within a certain distance of each other, or maybe have to renegotiate the relationship. I don't know. Talk to an attorney. But again, the question would be, why do I want to move away from my child? What's going on with her? What's causing her to want to do that? Is it to get away from you, or is it a situation she's remarried and needs to move, or is she trying to have less responsibility, or what? But certainly, how do you handle that? If you can't sit down and negotiate something with her in terms of this, if it were me, I would encourage you to talk to somebody who understands how the legality of all that works. Unfortunately, today, custody and sharing custody and every day back and forth, the question is, and this is the bottom line in my mind, always, what's the best for the child? What's the best for this child? Going back and forth? Can't do that being 100 miles apart. That's not reasonable. And it's not healthy. Different schools. I mean, come on. We can see all the problems associated with that. And so this is a big deal, and I think it should be elevated. And I would hope the two of you can get that worked out for the benefit of the child. Again, that's what we look at. All right. Hope that helps a little bit. Let's go to Larry. Let me see here. Larry, where are you calling from? It doesn't say here, but it looks like you have a question for me. Go ahead. What is it?
I'm a 46-year-old single male, and I'm raising two little girls. And I've been struggling. I mean, it's chaos in my house, you know. They constantly lie, you know. They fight with each other. Their mom ran out of them and they take all their frustrations out on me, you know, and I don't know what to do anymore.
Is mom still involved in her life?
In and out, though, you know. She sees them for a little bit, then she comes in town for maybe a month and takes off, and they go nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly in and out, in and out, in and out. Everything that I've tried to do, you know, it just goes out the window when she comes into town. And
yeah, well, that's very disruptive. How old are your girls?
They're 9 and 11.
At this stage, how are you doing?
I'm constantly under stress, you know. I'm constantly, it's a battle every day, you know. And I pray every day for some help, you know, but I just feel like the Lord is not there for me, you know. That's how I feel, you know.
Well, He is there for you, and maybe calling today was part of it to help you, Larry. Listen, I got a huge, big bias on calls like this. What's the best advantage of the child? What's the best interest of the child or children in this case? And having a mom who says, I'm in and then I'm out, you either play the game or you don't play the game. We don't go to a game and not play the game. There's not a coach on the planet that's going to have the player say, well, I'll come to this game, but not that game. You're either in or out. And so you've got to decide what's best for the child. And I would take action to say, hey, this ain't working. And for these girls, it's upsetting them. It's upsetting their peace, their home, their structure, in and out, in and out, in and out. That's just not good. And so I would not just sit and wait. I would get some help. I would talk to some people, find out what are your options, what can you do? And I would approach it from one standpoint, simply. And that's what's in the best interest of those two precious girls of yours. All right. I think we have time here. We're getting close to the end of the show. Before we wrap it up, we have another question coming in from Kansas here. Go right ahead.
Hi, my name is Christina, and I have a 15-year-old son who loves God, and he has been raised in church and taught to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and him going through the teenage years. And he has actually even said that he is thinking about becoming a pastor or youth pastor, just to kind of give you some background. And my question is, I let him watch some Christian debating on YouTube, and he's gotten a little, well, disrespectful in our eyes about some things. And we are just wanting to know, he is trying to tell us that he is not going to have the Sabbath be Sunday. It's going to be Saturday, and therefore he's not going to do his chores, which that in itself I don't think is biblical, but he likes to argue and debate with us, and I just don't know where to go with this. He is such a good kid. He's such a good role model to so many kids around him, but the past few weeks have been really rough, and I'm just not sure what to do. So any suggestions would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, well, you have a strong-willed child there, and this is a great opportunity at this stage in life. You got a good kid. To really camp on the fact you got a good kid, to sit down and talk to him. Why does he believe the way he believes, and where's that coming from? And I think it's important that we say to our children, because a lot of parents can have kids that see things differently, but I don't want to go to church. I don't want to be a part of that activity. The people down there, I don't, you know, I just don't feel comfortable and I don't like them and all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting, as parents, sometimes we cave in on that. And it's the best to be able to sit down and listen to your kids, but then at the same time say, look, you know, we don't ask a lot out of you. We got food and clothes and school and love and attention, but this is one thing that we do together. Every Sunday we go to church. We spend this hour worshiping God, and if you're not real keen on that today, or that's okay. We have good days and bad days, but this is one thing that we do as a family. One of the things you want your kids to grow up and have as a childhood memory is that we went to church every Sunday. Now, they may grow up and say, and I hated every minute of it, but I'll tell you down deep, they're going to respect you because they know that that was an anchor in your life. And I don't want to overstate this, but it could be someday, maybe after you're in heaven and they're 60 years old and the bottom falls out of their life, they're going to go back to the things that they heard. They're going to go back to the things that they remember, and to the stability and love and priorities that you had as a family. I really believe that. I really, truly do. I mean, I can remember, even at my stage in life, those things, how I grew up, make a difference. All right, there's the sound. We're out of here for today. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. I want to say how much I appreciate you all. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for standing with us to allow me and the team here at Intentional Living to do what we do for God's glory and for your benefit, frankly, and the benefit of those that you love and your family and so on. So what can you do today? One thing you could do is join us and say, hey, I want to be a part of the ministry. Give us a year and monthly support and see the difference it makes in the lives of people. Would you do that? You could join us with $1 a day in support of the ministry or whatever God lays on your heart at theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. On behalf of the staff here, have a great day. Intentional Living, it's a ministry of Intentional Life Media.